Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer for you, we invite your call right now to 844-322-2742. Again, that's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. So welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You talked about hearing, believing, and living this good news, and part of that is having hope. This message of Jesus Christ is one that is filled with hope, and we see that specifically spelled out for us in the New Covenant. In Hebrews chapter 7, starting in verse 18, the writer says this, "The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect, and a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God." So if we're going to talk about hope, we have to talk about this new covenant, don't we, guys? Because that's where hope really is.
Yeah, you know, Bob, hope is mentioned nearly 150 times in the Bible. And the epistle that talks the most about it in the New Testament is the book of Hebrews. Seven different times it talks about this hope. And of course, we know that Hebrews is all about the new covenant. It talks about the hope that's set before us, that there's a hope until the end, that there's a hope that's firm and sure and steadfast, and that we can have a hope without wavering. And I just love that, that we need an anchor. I mean, you know, Hebrews talks about us having an anchor for the soul, and that anchor is Jesus. So I've been thinking a lot lately about how many times we Christians, we think that Christianity is about us proving ourselves to God, but that's not an anchor. It's really an anchor when we let God prove himself to us. He's the anchor. He's the hope. And that's the message that we have today.
Yeah, it's impossible for us to be faithful to our promises and to our oaths and to our, you know, Lord, I'm going to do better next time. I mean, we're going to fall flat on our face, so there's no hope there. And that's the contrast that the writer is trying to make. There was this old covenant, and the people said, Lord, all that you have commanded, we will do. And yet they failed right at the get-go. And their history was a history of failure. And yet God remained faithful to them. And he brought Jesus into this world, and Jesus died, and he ushered in this new covenant. And now we have promises that God has committed himself to. He is going to be faithful to deliver on every one of those promises, and he has in Christ. So we have the laws written on our hearts and in our minds through the Holy Spirit. We have assurance of our salvation. We are the people of God. This curtain has been rent from top to bottom, so we have access into the very presence of God and can know him personally and intimately, and our sins have been forgiven once and for all. All those promises have been delivered to us in Christ Jesus, and that's the hope, that's the anchor for us, and that's why we need this new covenant. That's why we need to understand it in all of its detail and how it's applied in day-to-day life. That's where real hope is found. If you want hope in your life, if you've been struggling, if you've been falling flat on your face, we encourage you to embrace this new covenant, to learn about it, and to make a declaration that you are a new covenant believer, because there you're going to find hope, the very hope that will anchor your soul.
Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Plenty of open lines right now. We want to hear from you today. That number, 844-322-2742, good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. If there's some topic that's kind of burning and maybe you need to kind of let off some steam, whatever the situation might be, a question from the Bible, maybe an issue at home, at school, the office, whatever the situation might be, we'd like to talk about it with you on this edition of Basic Gospel. That means this edition, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, a question from Jay, who writes to us from Illinois, and the question is, does being equally yoked pertain just to our spouses, or does it include friends, co-workers, or our employers? I've never worked for a Christian company, he says, in 30 years that I've been employed. So what is your take on that?
Well, guys, I think we have to be careful with that in terms of our yoking, if it's friendships, if it's business relationships. I mean, one thing we know is that we're not taken out of this world. And, you know, when Paul says don't associate with a believer who is engaged in certain behaviors all in the name of Christ, you know, it says, you know, don't even eat with such a person. I think Paul really clarifies that. He says, as he goes on, he says, I do not at all mean an unbeliever here. In other words, then you'd have to go out of the world to avoid unbelievers. So, of course, we want to use godly wisdom and godly common sense when we go into a business venture with someone. You want to make sure that they're honest and straightforward with you and trustworthy as much as possible. But at the same time, we have to remember that, who would we share Christ with if we didn't have any unbelieving friends? How would we be a light and a witness to others, allowing Christ to shine through us, if we just went off the reservation and refused to participate in this world at all? And so I think we need to remember that we're in the world, that unbelievers are all around us, but at the same time, we're not of this world. We are different. We are light here, right here and now, because Christ is light living in us.
Yeah, good answer, Andrew. I think the key word for me in that question is partnership. You know, a marriage is, you know, a partnership between man and woman, and I think we can expand that out to other partnerships mm-hmm. that we might engage in. But as far as friendship, I think, Andrew, spot on. Thank you.
Yeah. Jay, hope you're listening and hope that's a help to you. As I said yesterday and many times in the past, if you have a question and can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, we encourage you to drop us an email and pose that question. You can do that by addressing us at Bob. That's a good name to address us with. Bob at basicgospel.net.
Yes, indeed. Let's go to Dallas, Texas, and talk with Gwen, listening to us on KWRD. Hi, Gwen. Welcome to Basic Gospel today, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. Good afternoon, gentlemen. I am calling today because I would like to know how I can find out what my calling is from God. I worked at a job for 25 years, and I was laid off in 2010, and I have yet to find something that gratifies me. And I'm at a job now where I'm really not sure what I'm doing, and once they find out, I can be let go. But I just feel like there is something stirring in my spirit that I should be doing that I'm not doing, that God is calling me to do something more than what I'm doing, but I have no idea where to start or how to navigate my way through these feelings that I have, because I feel them so strongly.
Well, Gwen, excellent question. And it's basically, how do we discern the plan of God for our lives on a day-to-day basis? And what's God's will is basically what you're asking. And Gwen, a lot of times I think we have to do, somewhat of a personal assessment. What do you like to do? What are the things that you find that you're comfortable doing and gifted in doing and just naturally do? And that those sort of things kind of help map and shape a plan. A lot of folks want to get in things that they have no skill set in, but it just looks appealing. You know, a lot of people want to write books, but they can't, you know, they don't know how to write, or they don't know how to do,
right,
you know, how to do all of that. And so that isn't a good fit. But
I do enjoy writing and expressing myself. I do enjoy that, but I have no idea where to start or how to even get going with that. And I'm not sure sometimes what it is that I enjoy best, but I keep a journal. I enjoy reading motivational and spiritual things that make me feel good and uplifted.
Gwen, have you ever thought about, leading a home group or having a group of ladies come over and, you know, we're going through something in the Bible or a Christian book together? It just seems like maybe what you're yearning for is a little bit more fellowship and maybe a very small leadership role where you get to coordinate something and communicate what's on your heart. I mean, whether it's writing a blog, for example, or if it's, you know, having a home Bible study where you get to share from your heart what God is doing in your life. Maybe, you know, what I call that is just you need an outlet. Sometimes we've got
right.
so much input and we don't have a place to output. You know, there's a lot of joy in sharing, whether it's on a blog or whether it's with a home group. I think that might be a really good thing for you to consider, because in sharing, you might just really experience the joy you're looking for.
Okay.
Gwen, let me add something. You sound a lot like I've sounded much of my life. I've always joked that I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. I'm 63. And so what I've had to learn is that contentment is important. You've got a job. You didn't have one. You've got one now. So being thankful for that job, even if it's not a perfect fit, and being content so that God can work through you and you do this work as to the Lord, you'll find that, one, you'll learn the job better and be more comfortable in it, and two, you'll be more relaxed, less stressed about things, and you'll be able to find some of these outlets that Bob and Andrew were talking about.
Okay, I'm trying. I've been at this job for 6 months, and there are so many things I don't know, and a part of me feels the manager has expressed that we should know X amount of information, and I don't know that information. For some reason, I'm not obtaining or retaining that information, and I struggle at work, and it frustrates me. I'm a lot better than I was, but it's just struggle. I just feel like there's so much more I could be doing that. It's so easy for God to book me with a job that I can excel and do well in. But I guess I'm supposed to be here and learn and be content, like you said.
Yeah,
until,
for now. You know, you don't know what the future brings, but right now, today, that's the job you've got. Live it to the full. Learn the best you can. Ask for help where you need it. And walk by faith. I mean, God's got you there for something. And he's using that job for you.
I am aggressively applying for other positions as well.
Yeah.
Well, good. Yeah, I
so,
was going to say, keep
that's
a...
That's excellent.
Yeah, keep a door open, you know, allow God to use that as well. As you cast your net out there, you never know what may come to your doorstep. And, you know, that's good. You be content in the moment, but you don't have to go passive. You can certainly, if you feel the desire to apply for other positions, I'm glad you're doing that. Don't be scared of that. Continue to do that if that's what you really want to do. I mean, I think Richard, you know, the big thing here, I think, is that God is working through our want-tos. He's working through our heart, and we don't have to be afraid of those desires, and we don't have to wonder, how is God leading me? Because he does lead us through our minds and through our hearts.
Right, I understand. Well, I have been on a few interviews, and I've gotten declination letters saying they found someone who's a better fit, so I am getting hits from my applying for other positions. I'm just ready to do something that I feel comfortable with and I feel okay going to work, that I know I can do this, that I understand what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for your call today, Gwen. We really appreciate your heart in this and you sharing with us, and I hope that what we've shared with you has been some help.
It has been. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Gwen. 844-322-2742. We still got some time on the clock and plenty of open lines. 844-322-2742.
Let's go talk to Tony, who's listening to us on WMCA in New York. Hi, Tony. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Good afternoon, sir. Praise the Lord.
Most definitely.
I am a recent convert to Christianity, but I'm having a very difficult time in my church, where we have people that speak in tongues, and every time they do it, I find myself leaving. I don't want to leave, but I find it as such a torn off. I don't know. I've been researching a lot in the Bible, and I came up with Corinthians 13, chapter 13, verse 8, and I wonder if you could really explain it to me.
Well, yeah, Tony, you know, I mean, tongues is not it's not an easy issue to work through. I think there's a couple of chapters here, chapter 13 and 14, that talk about tongues. And specifically, you're saying, you know, verse 8 of chapter 13, where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. I think, you know, we can go into chapter 14 as well. And basically, we discover this, that Paul says, you know, I would rather speak in intelligent words that people understand, given the choice. He says, you know, I'd rather speak with my mind and pray with my mind and sing with my mind. He says, I speak in tongues more than all of you. And I think what he meant by that was he was a traveling apostle who needed the gift of tongues. In other words, he needed to speak in other human languages. And that's what I believe tongues really is. It's a missionary gift. It's an evangelistic tool that God uses, where if you're a person who is of a language that I don't speak naturally, that God might gift me to share the gospel with you. In Acts chapter 2, we find that they each heard the gospel in their own tongue. So it wasn't an angelic language. It wasn't a heavenly babble. It was a language that was intelligible to the hearer, and that's why they could say amen after hearing the message. So quite frankly, you know, I can relate to you. I think there's a reason you're confused when you go into a church, and if you're hearing a lot of speaking that you don't understand. Paul's instruction to the New Testament church was, let's speak in tongues by one person or two people or three at most, but not at all if there's no interpreter. And of course, back then, 2,000 years ago, a church congregation was filled with people of many languages. There might have been a dozen languages represented in a given group of people. And so you can see why the gift of tongues would have been so useful in that time, in that congregation. But even then, Paul wanted order. He said, otherwise, an unbeliever is going to come in and say, are these people crazy? Are they mad? And I think that's a little bit of the taste in your mouth that you were getting when you went in and you heard something that was unintelligible. So tongues is an evangelistic gift. It is for people to hear the gospel in their own human language. And I'm afraid we've really gone off track when we engage in something that no one understands. Paul tells us specifically not to do that. So you're wise in being concerned about it, and I would encourage you to look into chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians as well, because there Paul is saying, if it's not understood, then what's the point in doing it?
Right, so, and I did the whole of Acts, and I came up with what you're saying, but I said, to me, Paul was a linguist.
Yep.
Because he spoke a different language, as a linguist would do. And my pastor's telling me no, that we should desire to speak in tongues. I said, you mean I should try to learn French or Spanish? He said, no. And I said, you mean the babble and the nonsense that's going on here, that I spend 10 minutes not understanding anything? It don't make sense to me.
Yeah.
He said we should desire to speak in tongues. And I'm confused. I love my church. I love my pastor. But I'm at the point of trying to go to another church. And I know I'm from the school where a rolling stone gathers no moss.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in staying in one church and working out. But
well, Tony,
to me, I'm being forced
you know,
out.
If this were a small issue, and maybe it is, then so be it. But if he's saying that you need this gift and that you have to desire this gift and that you have to have this gift in order to be a fulfilled Christian, then I would just say, wait a minute. Verse 19 here says, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words than 10,000 words in a tongue. So it sounds like to me 5 intelligible words is more important. And secondly, when Paul lists all the fruit of the gifts of the Spirit, tongues is listed dead last. And so when we make this a priority for every Christian, we're really ignoring that Romans says, you know, all do not speak in tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? All do not prophesy, do they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? I mean, there's a beautiful variety and diversity in the body of Christ. And when we try to impose one gift on all Christians, I think we're really missing the boat.
Well, Tony, hope that helps. And if you have further questions,
sir,
hope you'll...
Thank you very, very much for your help. I really do. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Tony. God bless.
Yes, indeed. Friends, I want to take just a moment to say thank you from all of us here at Basic Gospel to the many of you who stepped up at the end of the year with your gifts, confirming that what you've heard on this broadcast has made a positive difference in your lives. Those year-end gifts are not only needed, but were very much appreciated. And still, January seems to always bring a drastic drop-off of support. And we need to be very clear on this, friends. I firmly believe that 2016 is going to be a pivotal year for the ministry of Basic Gospel. If we are to be here for the long haul with the good news of Jesus Christ, we really can't afford to start the new year with a drastic drop-off as we usually do in January. This January, I firmly believe, must set the tone for this year and beyond. So we want to challenge you to stand with us as we proclaim Jesus and challenge you to be among the first to offer a significant gift to Basic Gospel in this new year. Challenge you to help continue to preach Jesus and Him crucified, buried, and resurrected. Challenge you to help us get the word out that this is the gospel that saves. Can you? Will you go to your phone right now and call 844-412-2742? Speak with our operator and make your most generous gift. Again, that phone number is 844-412-2742. Can you? Will you go to your computer right now? Log on to basicgospel.net. Click donate on any page and make your most generous gift. Can you? Will you get out your checkbook right now? Write the most generous gift you can and mail it to Basic Gospel. The address, 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. Again, that's Basic Gospel, 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. Can you, will you be among the first to help with the gift right now, today? As I said, 2016 is going to be a pivotal year for Basic Gospel. We want to be here next year, and we will, with your faithful help, beginning right now, today.
Thank you, Bob. Well, let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Eugene, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Eugene.
Grace and peace to you, brothers, in abundance. How are you brothers doing today?
We're doing well. Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Happy New Year's. Merry Christmas to you, brothers, my co-workers in Christ. I just wanted to comment on this whole matter with tongues, which I'm in agreement with your feedback, which you just spoke on, that tongues were a sign for unbelievers. It was a language, it was a translation of a language, like how it was given on Pentecost, how the tongues fell on the disciples and they started to speak in other people's languages. And when you look at the scriptures in the gospel, how Jesus said, go into the different nations. First he said, wait, you'll wait on the gifts from the Holy Spirit. Then he told them to go into the different nations and speak the gospel. How would these fishermen of Galilee go into different nations and speak the gospel to people of a different tongue native? It would be by the gift of the tongues, which we experienced at Pentecost. So I think that when what you see today in the churches, it's a miscommunication of the gospel, because we use the gospel to understand what's going on.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I would just say that when Paul gave his letters and he spoke about if a person walks into a church and you have people speaking and babbling.
Well, Eugene, let me jump in. We're just about out of time. We appreciate your comment. And, you know, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. This is God's work through the body to
yes.
communicate the good news about Jesus. That's the purpose of these gifts. We have a mission. The body of Christ has a mission, and that's to be light in this world of darkness. We're the body of Christ. He uses us to share the good news of Jesus, and that's God's work in and through us, and he gifts each and every one of us just as he sees fit. Boy, that's wonderful to know, isn't it?
Absolutely. Thanks for your call, Eugene. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, Andrew Farley, and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We're going to be back tomorrow. Hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.